Good morning, church. Welcome to our Sunday morning service once again. This morning I'm going to be talking about if we could see what God can see. So there's a story in 2 Kings 6 about Elisha. Just a reminder who Elisha was. He was the prophet who inherited a double portion of the spirit from Elijah. Now this particular story is at a time when the king of Aram was at war with Israel. Each move the Arameans tried to make, God warned the king of Israel. So the king of Aram began to wonder if he had a traitor. But when he questioned his men, he was told it was Elisha the prophet who was warning Israel. So he sent a whole army with horses to bring Elisha back to him. When Elisha's servant woke up in the morning, he saw that the Aramean army had surrounded the whole city, and he was terrified. He said to Elisha, "My Lord, what shall we do?" But Elisha said to him, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed to God to open the servant's eyes. When the servant looked again, he could now see the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around them. I bet he wondered, "What was I worried about?" Now that's an amazing story, but how many of us connect that story with us today? Well, Elisha was a man of God. The Lord spoke to him. He guided him to speak to his people. So he was an ambassador of God. In 2 Corinthians 5, this is the Message translation, says, "Anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new, the old life is gone and the new life emerges." God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. So let's quickly look up the definition of an ambassador. An ambassador is a diplomat of the highest rank. He represents a whole nation on behalf of the king or the government. An ambassador is authorized to make decisions and speak to represent the will of the person who sent him. So don't ever think that you're not important to God. You're Christ's ambassador. Just as Jesus was sent by the Father to do the Father's will with all the authority given to him, Jesus tells us to carry on those good works. He made us ambassadors. He says in John 14, verse 12, "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, who the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Because I live, you will also live. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." As we represent Jesus here on earth, we can call upon all the resources and angelic powers stored in heaven to assist us to bring glory to God. Jesus said, "Ask anything in my name, I'll do it." Just because Elisha's servant couldn't see the heavenly realm around them didn't mean it wasn't there. But he did get to see it when Elisha prayed to open his eyes. I asked before how many of us can connect Elisha's story with us today, and I'd like to share a story about one of my brothers. He worked in the scrap metal business. He was a Christian, and one day there was a problem with one of the huge crushers. Now, the crushers are those things that crush like cars and things, you know, they're huge, they take loads of metal, then they crush them to nothing. There was a problem and he had to climb in one. So he climbed in, he was fiddling around, and all of a sudden it started up. Within such a short space of time, he found himself flat on his face and he was being crushed. He couldn't move, he couldn't breathe, he couldn't call out. He thought he was breathing his last breath. All of a sudden the machine stopped and it started opening. And he was helped out by a colleague of his who stopped the machine. His colleague said to him, "I'm so glad I heard you say press the emergency stop button. My brother said, I didn't call. I couldn't call. I couldn't speak. Now, thankfully, my brother was actually unharmed. He was very bruised, but he had no broken bones, no internal injuries. But this colleague had very clearly heard a voice saying, press the red button now. And he did. He didn't know why. Obviously, he didn't know someone was trapped in the machine, but thank the Lord he did. Psalm 115 says, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. He will bless those who fear the Lord. Maybe it was an angel who spoke. Maybe the Holy Spirit. I don't know. What I do know is there is so much more going on around us than we can see. And because the Holy Spirit is in us, God anoints us to tear down strongholds, to break chains, to pray for people's healings, even to raise the dead. And all these things are to bring glory to God. None of these things are possible in our strength, though, only by the Holy Spirit who's in us. Holy Spirit also guides us. He guides us to know and do what the Father wants us to know and do. He can speak to and through us. He tells us what to pray and when we pray in our spirit language of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 says, anyone who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to men but to God. So when we don't know what we're speaking, he's doing it for us. Holy Spirit can warn and protect us, as we've just heard. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. Now, some of you will feel, I can't do anything like that. I'm too timid. Well, Paul starts in 2 Corinthians 10 saying, I, Paul, who am timid. This is Paul the Apostle, the mighty man of God, calling himself timid. That's really hard to believe. But he didn't let it stop him. He knew he didn't do anything in his own might. It was all the Holy Spirit in him. He knew he had the backup of heaven. He didn't rely on what he saw. He relied and trusted on what God could see. He declares we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. He understood that when fear, anxiety, and shyness come, he had to fight those thoughts. He had to take them captive. He had to push on through, knowing if God had asked him to do something, then God had equipped him to do it. Now, in this time of pandemic, taking control of our thoughts can feel like a huge task. There's a lot of fear around catching the virus. Some people have lost jobs, so finances are a huge thing. People are isolated, and that can cause us to overthink, and that can turn to anxiety. But Paul tells us in Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. He carries on with, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. He reminds us that what we feed our spiritual selves on is really important. Are we reading the wrong things? Listening to too much negative TV? Are we watching the wrong kind of movies or series on TV too? These things can have a huge impact on us spiritually and mentally, especially now in this time of isolation. So he even guides us to feed our minds and our spirits on things that are good and praiseworthy, pure and right. Paul knew that spending time with God, reading his word, singing along to worship songs can literally lift us out of depression. David said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me. He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit of mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. David knew what it was like to feel in that dark place of depression, but he also knew what it was like for the Lord to rescue him and put a new song of joy in him. In John 8:31, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and the Father sent him to us. The more we abide in the Word of God, the more we get to know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we get to see who we are to them. And we understand how much he loves us, and that he will protect us, and that the truth will set us free. He even gave us a spiritual armour to prepare and protect us. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, it starts, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm and bold, stand therefore, having put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, put on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to stop the fiery darts of the enemy. The helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." If we could see the Holy Spirit and the heavenly angels on our side, we would never have any worries, would we? Jesus already defeated the enemy at the cross. Everyone who believes in Jesus has been rescued from the grasp of the enemy. Just like in the Passover, when the blood of the Lamb was painted on the doorposts, death had to pass by. It's the same with us. The blood of Jesus shed on the cross tells the devil to pass on by. It says, we belong to Jesus. A friend once told me a story when he and his wife had visited a city and they got on the wrong bus. It was late at night and they ended up in a really dangerous part of town and they were totally lost. There were gangs with knives hanging around and all sorts. The next moment, a very large man came along. My friend described him as the largest man he'd ever seen. And he said to them, "You shouldn't be here. Follow me." And this man led them to a place where they could get back safely. They were so relieved. They turned to thank him, and he completely disappeared. If only we could see what God could see. God is everywhere, at all times. He is omniscient, all-knowing, all-seeing. He can see us right now, but he can also see our tomorrows. He gets to see the big picture. We can trust in him and he will work out all things for our good. Remember the story of David? Saul had been pursuing David for ages. Finally, someone had told Saul where to find him. So he takes his whole army ready to kill David. But at the very last minute, a messenger came on a horse to Saul and said, "Turn back because the Philistines were attacking at home." God can protect us in ways we can't imagine. A friend once told me he was driving on the motorway. He had a strong feeling to switch lanes. He did, and within minutes he was next to an accident instead of in it. God will give us strategies and direction, but sometimes they may not look like what we expect. Look at the story of Joshua and the children of Israel. As they stood before the walls of Jericho, they were told, "March around the walls once a day for 6 days, and 7 times on the 7th day. Then blow trumpets of ram's horns and shout, and the walls will come crashing down." Now, marching around a wall alone wouldn't cause it to crumble. It doesn't matter how old it is. But when Joshua obeyed the Lord, the heavens opened, and although they couldn't see what was happening, the walls did indeed come crashing down. That would have been very interesting to see with spiritual eyes at that moment, wouldn't it, to see how those walls came down? In Romans 8, verse 31, it says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Neither death nor life nor angels or principalities nor powers nor things present or anything to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. He loves us more than we could possibly imagine. He gave his only son to reconcile us. That's how much he loves us. God's purpose for us doesn't include fear or sickness or depression. We're on a journey, and some of those things may feel like a mountain in the way, but God can see past the mountain. He can see the awesome potential he placed in each of us, and he wants us to trust him so he can draw it out and show us. He can see the testimonies further down the road. He can see the hopes and dreams that he placed in us come true. When the seed of a flower is planted in the ground, it has to fight up through the dirt and the darkness. It needs watering and it needs sun. It may have a few ants or black fly or even a slug or two nibbling at its leaves on the way. But as it gets into the presence of the sun, it blossoms into something more beautiful than anything man could ever make. It even has a wonderful scent as a blessing. It's then ready to feed honeybees who go off and make the sweetest honey. But imagine if that beautiful blossom had given up and not pushed through the dirt and the darkness. Not pushed on through after the slug had attacked its leaf. We wouldn't have seen its true potential. Don't give up when things seem dark and hard. Push on through. Feed yourself on the Word. Get in the presence of the Son of God. Trust God to help you reach your potential. He can see it. We don't have to do it alone. We have the Holy Spirit. And as ambassadors of Christ, we can call on the power and resources of heaven, just as Jesus and his disciples did. 2 Corinthians 1 says, "God who makes us stand firm in Christ, he anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." Be assured, just because we can't see what God is doing doesn't mean he's not doing anything. If we could see what he could see, we'd have no doubts in who he is or who we are to him. As I was getting ready to record this, I came across a verse in 2 Corinthians 4, and it says, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." There is no one more solid or trustworthy than our God. Be encouraged. Put your faith in him today, knowing that he can see what we can't see. Happy Pentecost Sunday. Bless you.